Extended unemployment benefits ran out in April for 28,000 jobless people in Tennessee after state officials did not adjust state law to comply with federal standards. Democrats in the state legislature are pushing to reinstate the benefits, with House and Senate committees scheduled to meet Monday to consider resurrecting the program. The program means nearly $60 million in federal funds to pay up to 20 more weeks of benefits. Two dozen other states made the adjustment in time. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Today, most people are more likely to get a pay cut than a cost of living raise. But I have good news for you. You can build your own golden parachute. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby, and I think you'll find that the three-step plan home business system is a great solution to money worries. You can add to your income in your spare time. For information, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
Libya probably won't export oil until the war is over. Here's more from correspondent Mark Levy in Cairo.
Libya's largest oil company says it won't try to export oil till the war there ends because of attacks on its facilities by ruler Muammar Gaddafi's forces. A company official says the halt probably applies to the whole country. This is a blow to Libyan rebels who've been financing their uprising by selling some oil and to nervous world energy markets. Gasoline prices have already spiked because of disruptions in Libyan oil exports. This might drive them even higher. Mark Levy, Cairo.
House Speaker John Boehner says he doesn't think President Obama is serious enough about tackling the nation's economic problems. Courtesy CBS, Face the Nation.
He's talking about it, but I'm not seeing real action yet. And I just think this is the moment. We all know what the problems are.
State Department spokesman Mark Toner says formal U.S. recognition of the Transitional National Council of Libya is not necessary to provide the opposition forces support.
Look, we believe that the TNC is remains a credible and legitimate interlocutor of the Libyan people. We have given them $25 million in non-lethal assistance. We're also looking at ways to unfreeze those frozen assets to provide them with the monetary assistance that they need.
With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eglin's Best. In the world of eggs, Eglin's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eglin's Best tastes like no other. With more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love, it's no surprise that Eglin's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eglin's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eglin's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg?
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for a serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. We have a great hour for you today. Later in the show, we're going to be speaking to the author of a great article published in Animal Law entitled, Should They Go the Way of the Horse and Buggy? How the New York City horse-drawn carriage industry survived 30 years of opposition. Also, have you heard of the new film Water for Elephants, starring Reese Witherspoon and a beautiful 45-year-old Asian elephant named Ty? Well, just released footage of Ty, the elephant, being beaten and electric shocked during training, despite the repeated assertions from the producers and trainers that the elephant has been treated with love and affection and never been abused. We're going to speak with someone from the animal welfare organization that released this video and learn how common this abusive treatment of animals depicted in films is and maybe what we can do to help. But first, there's a new journal out called the Journal of Animal Ethics. And when I heard about it, I knew I wanted to find out more. And so we're going right to the source, to one of the co-editors of the journal, Professor Priscilla Cohn from Penn State University. She has taught philosophy for more than 35 years and has written on animals, environmental issues, and ethical problems. Professor Cohn has lectured around the world and is a pioneer in the teaching of animal ethics. She also has a special interest in wildlife contraception. Along with co-editor Andrew Lindsay, the first edition of the Journal of Animal Ethics is now out and is published by the University of Illinois Press in partnership with the Oxford Center for Animal Ethics. Welcome to the show, Priscilla.
Thank you very much.
Priscilla, as just mentioned, the Journal of Animal Ethics is a product of the Oxford Center. So why don't you tell us what the Oxford Center is and what its activities are or will be?
Well, the center is really, as we say, to pioneer ethical perspectives through academic research, teaching, and publication. That's what it says on our website. Briefly, it's to push progressive thought about animals further. We are encouraging people to investigate what the latest scientific findings are and to think further about our treatment of animals.
So the fellows of the center, are they academic types or do they come from a range of backgrounds?
Most of them are academic types. If you look, we have a huge list of fellows, and they almost all have PhDs, but some of them are either vets or in different fields. They're not all in philosophy or theology or something like that. So we have a pretty impressive list of fellows, but anybody can apply to be a fellow, or I think you have to have somebody suggest your name, but it can be from any field.
Priscilla, we seem to be learning all the time that non-human animals have greater abilities than we'd previously thought, such as in language, cognition, and social structure. How does this knowledge affect the field of animal ethics and the discussions and debates within it?
Well, that's a topic that I'm particularly interested in because the scientists that wrote would tell us in some detail often about their experiments, but they stopped with the ethical implications. What does this mean about our treatment of animals? And that's where I'm particularly interested in finding out, well, you know, if this animal really has a highly developed social structure, what does it mean to separate it from its fellow beings or whatever you want to call them? So I think all the new findings are very, very interesting, and they, from my perspective, they require a change in our treatment of many animals.
Okay, so the journal now, what is its purpose and who is the intended audience?
Well, it's an academic journal, so people who like to read academic things maybe. The audience is anybody who's interested, but it is an academic journal. As I said, we want to push the thought, so we have articles on all different kinds of topics. There's an article coming out on the various veterinary oaths that people take, and if you wanted, I could read you the table of contents in the present. We've just published the first edition, but some are on philosophical views of animals. One is called Pets or Meat, Ethics in Domestic Animals, et cetera, et cetera. Animal Ethics Based on Friendship, et cetera. And some of the articles are somebody will present an idea, and then somebody else will disagree and respond to it.
Yeah.
So the articles cover a wide range and are written by people from many different disciplines, and it's international. And we're talking about theoretical and applied ethics, and, of course, it's peer-reviewed.
Oh, that's great. And how frequently will it be published?
Twice a year, at least in the beginning.
But Priscilla, now you've written about the use of terminology and language in referring to animals, and you want people to change some of the phrases they use which portray animals negatively. Please explain to my listeners about this.
Yes. Well, this was the introductory essay that both Andrew Lindsay and I wrote, and we said, you know, instead of wildlife, use free roaming. Instead of pets, use companion animals. Don't use expressions like vermin and brutes. And this has been kind of standard in the academic world for a number of years. We didn't expect a fuss, but apparently people took offense, particularly at the word pets, and said, oh, you know, this is just these academic people who are completely ivory tower and don't live in the real world, don't want us to call our animals we live with pets, you know. And so But the feeling is that most of these words are very old, and they carry with them all sorts of even unknown biases and ideas that animals are just objects, possessions to be owned like a piece of furniture. And I think that's true of the word pets, because everybody is objecting, saying, well, it's a term of endearment. It may be, but it's also a term that really kind of tells what the relationship of the animal is to the person who owns it, and even owning is kind of an unfortunate word, but legally
right.
is what applies. But it doesn't talk about the animal as a kind of independent being. Now, obviously, your dog can't go and get his food himself, so he's not completely independent, but he's not a stick of furniture either. And so we suggested a new terminology, or, you know, recent in the last couple of years, but not brand new, to get people to not continue these old stereotypes, and yet they still exist.
And you received really negative responses from that suggestion.
Well, yes, particularly from animal lovers, and particularly objecting to the word pets. Somebody wrote an email saying, well, you know, lots of luck. If you run into a bear that wants to eat you, you know, tell the bear that you're not calling him wildlife but free roaming. But that illustrated perfectly, I think, one of our points. When you say wildlife, you think of some ferocious, bloodthirsty animal, and yet a mouse would be wildlife, you know.
Right.
Maybe we need another word. The word brute was used constantly by people in the time of Descartes. They didn't say animals, they said brutes. So I think you get the connotation of what that is. If you say vermin, I mean, vermin sounds like something that you want to kill, right? It's disease-ridden vermin, you know. So we're
trying
to get rid of the old connotations that are sticking with these, with language. I mean, the power of language can easily be shown, I think, when, for instance, if somebody is talking about a woman and they say she's a woman or she's a lady, that's one thing. If you say she's a chick or a bimbo, you get an entirely different picture. And
absolutely.
This shows, I think, the power of language, which people forget. Now, we're not saying if you change the word, you're going to get rid of cruelty, you know, completely. No, but we're saying if you're going to think about animals in a new way, which the science seems to me would lead you to believe, then you have to change your language, too. It's a little bit like feminists saying, say chairperson, not chairman, right?
Right. Now, Priscilla, there's a book series coming out from the Oxford Center, correct?
Yes, yes. And it's we have two of them are already out. One's an introduction to animals and the law, and the other's an introduction to animals and political theory. And again, these books are very multidisciplinary from different fields. We have a really interesting book coming out. I don't know what the title is going to be, but it's about human health. And this woman is an expert in human health. That's her field. And she writes about how many of the things that we think are ways in which we treat animals that are cruel, like the ways we treat food animals, how it's really dangerous to human health, how it creates, resistant bacteria that are resistant to antibiotics, but all sorts of other things that are not widely known. So it's almost like the revenge of the animals. You know, we
yeah.
treat them badly, but, you know, you're going to suffer the results. But she goes into many different instances, and it's a fascinating book. So our book series should be interesting, too.
Professor Priscilla Cohn, co-editor of this great new journal, the Journal of Animal Ethics. Thanks for coming on Animals Today.
Thank you very much.
So here on Animals Today, we often speak about the cruel and abusive treatment of animals used in entertainment, like circuses and rodeos and horse racing. What about animals depicted in movies and films? I'm sure you've heard and read the familiar disclaimer, no animals were harmed in the making of this film. Are we to believe that? We're going to explore this topic right after the break. Stay with us. You're listening to Animals Today.
And they can pick more notes than the number of ants on the Tennessee anthill. As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise? Yep.
Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hi, I'm Kelly, and I love my CVS pharmacy. They have everything I need to keep my family healthy. Now they have price cuts to keep my savings healthy, too. Just look for the yellow price cut signs to save big on hundreds of items you need.
Side effects of price cuts include the condition known as smiling, laughing, and dancing in the aisles.
Happy feet coming through.
This week, get Kellogg's cereal for $1.97 and Allegra Allergy 30 Count for only $17.99 when you use your CVS Pharmacy Extra Care card. Now through Saturday, select varieties while supplies last. See store for details.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EB's Sunny Eye. I love my EB's Sunny Side Up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Running to and fro, hard working at the mill, never fail in the mill, yet come a rotten bill. Too much monkey business, too much monkey business, too much monkey business.
Welcome back to the show. A huge story broke this week regarding cruelty to elephants with absolutely horrifying undercover video from the group Animal Defenders International. We have on the line Matt Rozelle, who is campaign director for AADI, Animal Defenders International. Matt has extensive experience in undercover investigation, and he is here to explain what's going on with the movie, Water for Elephants. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Matt, you've released video this week of Ty, the elephant star of the current film Water for Elephants. What does the video show?
Well, it's horrifying. The video shows undercover footage taken at the training center, Have Trunk Will Travel, where elephants, including Ty, are repeatedly given electric shocks with a handheld stun gun. We're talking about almost a million volts of electricity. Ty and other elephants are crying out when being shocked, being forced to perform headstands and other tricks that are actually the same tricks used in the film. Elephants are also being beaten with a weapon called a bullhook, which is, it looks like a fireplace poker with a very sharpened metal tip that you'll see in every situation where, in entertainment, where handlers are handling elephants. You'll see the bullhook in their hand. This is the weapon they use, and this is typical training methods. They use pain, punishment, and fear to control these elephants, and this was all captured on film.
Wow. When was the video obtained?
The video was taken in 2005 and was a part of a much wider investigation that Animal Defenders International was involved in. The reason we chose to release it now was we could not ignore all of the false information that the industry, that Have Trunk Will Travel, they were using this movie as a platform to an international audience to try to make everyone feel comfortable that elephants like Ty are treated only with positive reinforcement. They were on the record saying things like, Gary Johnson, the founder of Have Trunk Will Travel, is on the record saying Ty was never hit in any way at all. And they claim they use marshmallows and pats and positive reinforcement to train these elephants. And we had to respond to that, and we had to release this video.
That's incredible. Matt, are you saying that even if no animal abuse is documented during the production of the film, it's likely abuse has already taken place?
Well, this evidence with Ty and Water for Elephants clearly shows that the American Humane Association, who is the organization that oversees on the set observations of the humane care of animals when they're being used in films and television, that certification is really meaningless to the compassionate moviegoer because of exactly what you just said. The abuse is happening off the set. The abuse happens prior to that animal ever arriving to the studio. And the fact is that bullhook and those reminders of that abuse are present during the filming, and that is why they can get the elephant like Ty to do the trick on set without hitting her.
Oh, that's terrible. And has there been any response from the group American Humane?
American Humane has responded. They, you know, they just so far have said that they are reviewing the video and confirming that no animals were harmed, that Ty was not harmed in any way during the filming of the movie.
How about any statements from the movie's producers that you mentioned that no harm was done to the animals, or its starring actors like Reese Witherspoon?
Well, we are in the process of contacting all the movie makers, actors, and distributor of the film. So far, Fox has made a comment. They were saddened to see the video footage, and they are looking into it. But we are still in the process of, you know, getting in touch with all of these, you know, the actors, distributor, and producers.
Yeah. So one can't really believe, or one has to think more clearly when they see that disclaimer, no animals were harmed in the making of a film.
Yeah, I really think that this shows that really there is no assurance that animals were not harmed. And we are going to follow all these leads. We're going to have communication with the American Humane Association and really ask them to strengthen their guidelines and also to change the way that they put those types types of disclaimers on the film to let the public know that they cannot assure what happens before that animal arrives on set.
That's great. And I just want to reiterate to my listeners what you said previously. This horrible abuse that you capture on video was not an isolated circumstance. It's really how elephants and animals are trained for other forms of entertainment like circuses. Matt, how can people get involved with Animal Defenders International's good work, and what can people do who want to make a difference and speak up for Ty and other performing animals?
Thanks, Lori. People can get involved. We want people to contact Animal Defenders International, and you can reach us by email here in our Los Angeles office at usa@ad-international.org. You can also get us through our website, which is adiusa.org. But there's lots of things people can do at home. You know, we have a flyer people can get from us in a letter-writing pack. If you hit our website, adiusa.org, you can click on what you can do. There's a letter-writing pack that's going out with sample letters to the editor, sample letters to all the movie makers and actors, so that we can pressure all of these people who have, they're in a unique opportunity right now to really make a difference for animals and entertainment, and everyone's voice counts. We really need to have a unified voice where we're all speaking out. You can also contact your local theater. Of course, we're inviting people or asking people to boycott the film and share this video, that you can get the link on our website, which again is adiusa.org. You can get the link, share it on your Facebook and other social networking sites, and get involved with ADI. We have a wider campaign called Break the Chain, which is our campaign to really systematically end the use of animals in circuses and other forms of entertainment. And we really need people on the ground in the U.S. We have had huge success around the world. We just recently, last month, were able to rescue Annie, who was a 57-year-old, the last remaining elephant in circuses in the U.K. We captured her abuse, severe beating on film, and she, the public pressure, we were able to get her out of that circus, the Bobby Roberts Super Circus. We also have just recently shut down all the circuses in Bolivia after a hard-fought campaign and undercover investigation. So we're doing a lot around the world, and we're going to do a lot here in the U.S., and we need everyone's help to do it.
Matt Rozelle, thank you. Animal Defenders International, thank you very much for appearing on Animals Today.
Thanks for having me, Lori.
Listen, if you've not already done so, you can go add yourself to our mailing list, again, by going to our website, animalstodayradio.com, animalstodayradio.com, and you'll receive a weekly electronic newsletter announcing our wonderful guests and subject matters for the upcoming show. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. This is Animals Today.
From the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Neil from Richmond writes, if you're traveling at the speed of light and you turn your headlights on, what happens?
Well, Neil, let me answer your question with a question. If you're traveling at the speed of Geico.com, which is quite close to the speed of light, and you pay your bill online, what happens? You could save time. Lots of time.
So there you have it, Neil. Keep those headlights on and that policy updated.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
And now on to the bonus round. If blood is thicker than water, what's thicker than blood?
Fondue cheese?
Correct. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. Why not?
Gingivitis.
Correct. Netflix lets you watch unlimited TV episodes instantly through your what?
Your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited episodes of your favorite TV shows and movies instantly through your game console or other devices, all for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to the show. Horse-drawn carriages. What comes to many people's minds? Picturesque, romantic, wonderful way to visit or tour a city or park. But is there more to the horse-drawn carriage story? You bet there is. I want to welcome to the show Catherine Hutchison, who is a student at Chicago Kent College of Law. She recently published a great article in Animal Law entitled, Should They Go the Way of the Horse and Buggy? How the New York City Horse-Drawn Carriage Industry Survived 30 Years of Opposition. Catherine received a BA in English from the University of Massachusetts and a master's in journalism from New York University. Welcome to the show, Catherine.
Hi, Lori. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Catherine, when did this practice of using horse-drawn carriages to provide rides, mainly to tourists, first become popular?
It really emerged in New York City after World War II as a tourist attraction. The number of horse-drawn carriages had proliferated in New York during World War II because there was a need for non-motorized transportation because of gas rationing. And after the war, a lot of the carriages and drivers remained, and they just started providing rides to tourists. So I would say probably late 1940s, early 1950s, and it was in the late 1940s that the city sold about 68 medallions, which are carriage licenses, to various members of the Irish-American community, various Irish immigrants. It's very associated with Irish expatriates.
Mm. Who initially opposed the use of the carriages, Catherine? Please describe the emergence of its opposition.
Well, a grassroots movement really began sometime in the late 1970s. It was originally spearheaded by an actress named Gretchen Weiler and a radio talk show host named Kenene Fitzgerald. And it was mainly in response to accidents and the way the horses were increasingly being driven on busy city streets and various abuses that were observed. The movement slowly gained ground. It took a while to get going, but in 1981, the first regulations were passed. Before that, there weren't even any licensing requirements for carriages or drivers. There were no hourly limits on how much horses could work. There were no mandatory inspections of stables or horses. So that was really the first regulatory law that was passed in 1981. But the problem, which has been the case all along, is lack of enforcement or lax enforcement. So usually the movement has coincided with publicized accidents. For instance, in the 80s, there were several highly publicized accidents, and there was a terrible heat wave where several horses died, and that rejuvenated the movement in the late 1980s. So it kind of tends to ebb and flow with events, and whenever there are some tragic events, then the movement emerges again, and the controversy is renewed. And then there'll be a period of several years where there will really be, you know, no incidents to speak of, or at least no reported incidents. And then the issue kind of recedes into the background again. So it's kind of a pattern.
Right. Is the work as a carriage horse tough on the horses?
Yes, it is. They are allowed to work up to, legally work up to 9 hours a day. They have to walk on hard asphalt surfaces, which are not good for their feet. They work in extremes of temperature. They're not legally allowed to work if the temperature is over 89 or below 19 degrees, but that doesn't account for humidity or wind chill. And heat prostration becomes a big problem in the summer because these are large horses and they're not able to sweat. So it is a very hard life. The average working life of a carriage horse in New York City has been estimated to be at 4 or 5 years because it takes such a toll on their body that they don't really last very long. They are they have to traffic very busy streets. Their stables are in the west side of Manhattan, and they have to travel up and down 9th and 10th Avenues to get to and from their stables to Central Park. And they have to go past the Lincoln Tunnel, the West Side Highway, some very congested areas, and this creates a lot of stress on them with the constant, you know, exhaust fumes from the tailpipes and the noise of the traffic. You know, you can have a horse in a center lane, and it can have, you know, trucks and buses on either side of it, and then a bus in front of it, and it's very stressful for the horse. Beyond the physical impact, you know, there are also psychological and social effects. Horses are very social animals. They need contact with other horses. They need regular exercise, fresh air. They need to run on grass. And carriage horses in New York City get almost none of that. They're kept in stables that are basically converted warehouses and firehouses. And they're multi-level buildings. They have to climb up ramps to get to their stalls. They never get out of the city. Last year, there was a regulation passed that they have to get 5 non-consecutive weeks of turnout outside the city. But before that, you know, there was no regulation that said the horses had to ever get out of the city and get any rest. So So they have no socialization with other horses, you know, no regular exercise beyond just hauling carriages, then being returned to their stalls at night where they're usually continually tethered. So it is a pretty miserable existence.
It sounds like a horrible existence for a horse. And what happens to the horses after their 4 or 5 years of working?
Well, that's another subject of controversy because, you know, while some may be adopted out or retired out to farms, you know, many of them do go to slaughter. They go to auction where they're auctioned for their meat or they're destroyed when they outlive their usefulness. So that's kind of part of the tragedy in that these horses
sure.
have put in these years of work and been faithful workers, and at the end of their lives, they're just discarded.
Catherine, who drives the carriages, and what are their qualifications?
Well, again, a lot of the carriage drivers are first or second generation Italian and Irish immigrants. It's a family-oriented enterprise. It's often handed down from father to son. A lot of the operators are family operators. A lot of them are from Queens, and it's very wrapped up in borough politics, and they have the support of the representatives from Queens in City Hall. So it's very entrenched in borough politics. It's very ethnic. It's very wrapped up in immigrant politics. So these are pretty much who the drivers are, and there's very little requirement to become a carriage driver. A lot of drivers have really no experience handling horses. In fact, one that was involved in a high-profile accident was a former bagel shop worker. All that is required is 5 days of apprenticeship with another carriage driver. There is a written test administered by the city. There's no road test. So you can basically get a license to steer horse carriages through the city, you know, having had no experience ever handling horses before. And that's a large part of the problem, is that these horses spook easily from loud noises, and a lot of these drivers just don't know how to handle it when they bolt and they take off like that.
Yeah. Catherine, why do you conclude in the article that no amount of regulation can make the practice of horse-drawn carriages in the streets of New York humane?
Well, you know, even when you have operators that are following the law, you know, the conditions on the streets are extremely stressful for horses, the heat conditions. You know, people see these horses being driven in Central Park and think that maybe their stables are in the park, but they still have to travel 9th and 10th Avenue, congested streets during rush hour to get to their stables.
Yeah.
It's a very hostile environment for horses. No amount of regulation can change the nature of New York City streets. The traffic will always be intense. There will always be very loud noises, which horses spook easily. Concussive surfaces, you know, a lot of hoof injuries from pounding the asphalt. In the summer, the asphalt can reach up to 200 degrees. There are tack lines, which is where they wait for rides outside Central Park. You know, it gets very hot in the summer. There's no shade. So certain conditions, you know, just cannot be improved through any amount of
right.
regulation.
Catherine Hutchinson, who's a student at Chicago Kent College of Law, great article she wrote in Animal Law. Should they go the way of the horse and buggy? How the New York City horse-drawn carriages industry survived 30 years of opposition. Thank you, Catherine, for appearing on Animals Today.
Thank
Don't
you.
Go away. We have Peter and the news right after the break.
No one understands. Jackknife in your sweaty hands. Some kind of innocence is measured out in you.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to. and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
We all want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eggland's Best. In the world of eggs, Eggland's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eggland's Best tastes like no other. With more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eggland's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eggland's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eggland's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too, so why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best? Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirschner, and we have with us Peter Spiegel.
Hey.
Hi, welcome.
How are you?
Good.
Interesting guest today.
Very interesting. It was a great hour. What's in the news?
In the Philippines, another seizure of more illegal animal products. This time, 124,000 pieces of illegal coral, and a bunch of stuffed sea turtles. They're made to look like they're alive. All were found in shipping boxes, which was labeled rubber.
Wow.
And that's a huge problem. In that area, the shipments were intended for China or Europe or the United States. And illegal possession of coral is punishable in the Philippines with long jail sentences. So
good.
We'll see what happens to that. Similarly, in Thailand, a 36-year-old guy from the United Arab Emirates was arrested when they found in his suitcases drugged leopards, panthers, a bear, and two macaque monkeys, all tiny little size of puppies, they claim.
Drugged in a suitcase?
Drugged and alive in special little containers to be smuggled back to the back home.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. So usually, they're dealing with turtles or tortoises or snakes or other sort of reptiles, which go to China and Vietnam. But these exotic mammals going back to the Middle East, that's a new twist on things.
What do you think ultimately happens to these animals?
Well, most of them, die along the way. But the goal is to supply the exotic pet trade. People
want
to own these animals as exotic zoos in their own little personal zoos.
Yeah, but what do you think happens to the ones that survive
They live horrible lives. They're in probably inadequate enclosures. Who knows how to take care of them? They don't go to someone who knows what to do with them. Allows them to live normally.
How about to these animals that were caught?
Yeah, my source does not say what has happened to these particular animals, so I'm really not sure. But there's a big black market out there.
Right.
Yeah. Back in the States, a baby cheetah and a couple of other animals from the San Diego Zoo are being carted around. And to promote the zoo, they have made appearances in Las Vegas recently on TV channels, and they are sort of on a PR tour.
So they're taking the wild animals from the zoo. A tour.
Yeah.
To other cities.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
Yes. They're promoting the zoo by visiting Las Vegas.
Okay.
So I agree with you. It's really insane to take this. So there's the beautiful picture of this baby bobcat being stressed out to travel all the way to Las Vegas and other places. They've gone to Phoenix. They've gone to other cities.
Right. It's stressed enough being in a small cage at the zoo.
Right.
Now they're putting it in a smaller cage, traveling around in a vehicle other cities.
That's right.
Yeah. It's insane.
So
it's maddening, actually.
Yeah, I agree. There's a new survey from the Postal Service, which looks at the rate of dog bites among their letter carriers.
Oh.
Yes, that's a big concern for the letter carriers. It's valid. And people don't restrain their animals properly often. So which city has the most dog bites of letter carriers?
Oh, I would say Los Angeles.
Houston,
okay.
Most dog bites, number two in the rankings, there was a tie between Columbus, Ohio, and San Diego, reporting 45 dog bites on to carriers each in the year 2010. And the list goes on and on. Los Angeles is number three. Louisville, San Antonio, and St. Louis were number five, tied there. So the letter carrier can elect not to deliver if there's an unrestrained animal or if they feel unsafe or if there are animals even roaming the neighborhood. They could just say, we are not going there. You have to pick up your mail at the post office.
Yeah, good.
So yes, people need to protect their letter
carriers. They need to be responsible, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, in Washington, there's a woman who's a horse person, and she is planning on riding her horse and a team of other horses across the country to raise awareness for cancer in both animals and humans.
Okay.
So she's developed she's got a riding mate, and they're going to travel about 20 to 25 miles a day, and it's going to take them about 8 months, and they're going to go with five horses and a mule and a bunch of vehicles following them and supporting them to raise awareness about cancer.
Will the horses and mule enjoy it?
Yeah, that's not discussed and almost not even meant, not even thought about in this promotion.
Right. No one's going to think about it.
So is that what a horse wants to do?
No.
And a mule.
Right.
Yeah.
Go on a marathon.
Right. Over mountains and 25 miles a day. So that is, to me, it's another insane, unfair use of animals who would rather be grazing on the grass, right?
Well said. I agree.
You know, remember the story in British Columbia where the sled dogs were massacred, murdered by an employee who was apparently told to, we have too many dogs, get rid of these dogs?
Yes, it was horrible.
Right, and then the story came to light only after this person applied for post-traumatic stress disorder disability benefits, and then the story came out.
Right.
Well, they are...
He slaughtered hundreds, didn't he?
More than 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have recently exhumed 52 of these sled dogs, and they are performing necropsies on them. It was a pretty expensive sort of deal, but they have to do it to figure out how were the dogs slaughtered, because that determines whether animal cruelty charges are going to be filed. So if they were simply shot with like a single bullet, that apparently is not as cruel as whether they were killed with a blade or otherwise killed in a different fashion.
So are you saying if 180 dogs were shot with a bullet in the head, that he's not going to be charged with animal cruelty?
Something along those lines.
You're
yeah.
kidding.
Yeah, that's really what it seems like.
And the poor guy is suffering from traumatic stress.
Yeah, well,
oh.
Yes, that's how it came. Well, you know, I'm not defending him, but it's true. Maybe he did a stressful thing he shouldn't have done, and it's came to light, but...
Poor baby.
Yeah, okay.
Well, he has to deal with it.
Well, new laws are being passed, have just been passed in British Columbia to as a reaction to this.
And oh, that's great.
Really the toughest animal cruelty laws in all of Canada just passed, so okay. Something will happen.
Something good came out of that.
Yes.
Well, thanks for tuning in. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet, the animals.
The opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.